Sylvia and me.
Hi, I'm Sylvia Beckerman. Join me today as I talk to an extraordinary woman who is changing the world by making a difference in her life and the lives of those around her.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Robin Stern. I'm the Associate Director of the Yale Center for Emotional Intelligence and a psychoanalyst particularly focusing on women. I wrote The Gaslight Effect in 2007, and it was reprinted just a couple of years ago when gaslighting has become more of a cultural phenomena and very common in popular discourse. And welcome to Sylvia and me.
Robin, thank you so much for joining me today. And as you said, you have written the book, The Gaslight Effect, How to Spot and Survive the Hidden Manipulation Others Used to Control Your Life. That's a lot right there. I do remember the Gaslight movie, the 1944 Hitchcock movie, which was pretty pretty scary on so many levels. So I'd like to jump right into gaslighting and ask you, what is the origin of the term and why is there a resurgence in the use of the word?
Okay, well, thank you for asking that question. From my own research, the first time that it was used in popular culture was in 1938. There was a play called Angel Street that was later made into a movie in 1944 called Gaslight, starring Ingrid Bergman, Charles Boyer, and Joseph Cotten. And in that movie, the reason that Gaslight was the title, it was because it was part of the movie. The diabolical husband was trying to drive his wife crazy by telling her that she had stolen things that were missing in the house or that were misplaced, that she was forgetful when in fact she knew she wasn't, that she was growing ill and she was fading and failing when she didn't think she was. And over time, in fact, those things began to turn her mind so that she accepted his reality and she began to think she was going crazy. She was forgetful. She was ill. And one of the ways he did that was by playing with the gaslight in the house. Because the movie was set in Old England, and I recommend that you see it if you haven't, because it's really quite a dramatic example of what can happen to someone who's in a gaslighting relationship and the decline and the slow, insidious way that it works your mind. So in this movie, the gaslights were flickering, and she, the character played by Ingrid Bergman, would say to Gregory, played by Charles Boyer, do you see the gaslight dimming? Or she would say, ask people around her, and they would say, no, we don't see that. And so she thought she was going crazy. So it was just the exemplar of why she was going quite crazy, that the gaslights weren't, in fact, flickering, and she thought they were. And I saw that movie many times. And at some point when I was thinking about writing a book on bullying, actually, I began to notice that this particular kind of psychological manipulation was happening to otherwise successful, happy, confident women who I was working with in my private practice, where in their personal relationships, they were basically falling apart. They were, I don't look good in that color. I used to think I look good in that color. Or maybe people don't want to hear what I have to say. I used to feel like maybe I was kind of the life of the party, but now my boyfriend tells me I talk too much. And so second guessing themselves at the hand of a gaslighter. So I coined the term, the gaslight effect, to describe what happens to you when you are the target of gaslighting and you participate in that dance, if you will, over a period of time, and you become less and less the person you were when you met your guy or your woman.
What I wanted to go into a little bit more, I did see the movie. I saw the movie many, many times, and it was scary in the way that one of the things I noticed was he isolated her so that really the only one that she had to count on was the Charles Boyer character. But you mentioned, women more so than men. Why is that?
I have two answers to that. One is that they made their way to my office. And so those were the people I was seeing in my private practice. And I think that that's not that uncommon, that certainly in psychotherapy, women come in more than men to complain about their relationships and to find out what they can do differently. When you are like beaten up physically, when people are calling you names, when you can identify physically the scars on your body from someone hurting you, it's easy to say, that guy is a monster, or that woman is, she just smacked me across the face. But when somebody is undermining your reality, unfortunately, women more than men end up turning their finger and pointing to themselves and saying, there's something wrong with me. So those are the people I saw in my private practice. And those are the people who began to doubt their memory, their perception, their sanity, their character. So one striking example was a woman who came to me and said, I don't know if I'm being abused or not. My husband says that I'm abusing him. And I said, well, tell me what happened. And she said that when she got home from work the night before or the couple of days before, he threw her against the wall and she hurt her head and she was crying and saying, how could you abuse me like this? How could you ever lay a hand on me? And he said, no, you have it wrong. You abused me. I'm just reacting to that. And so she went on to describe the fact that her husband didn't like it when she was late coming home from work. And many times she was late because she got caught up in a late meeting and she tried to get out on time because she knew he'd be angry and she didn't want to confront that. But this one time she couldn't get out even close to time and she was very late. So when she walked in, he was violent. And she was so confused because of what he was saying that she didn't even recognize that what he did was reason for her to move out of the house. And she really didn't know whether or not she had abused him because he said she did. And after all, how could you tell if you're being abused unless you feel abused? And he felt abused.
So he really felt abused because she wasn't there when he wanted her to be there. And now you're taking the mental and the physical abuse and putting it together. Do they usually come side by side?
No, I would say no. I think that sometimes, I mean, that was an extreme example. I think that many times gaslighting is much more insidious. It's not accompanied by physical abuse. And sometimes it establishes a pattern of power and control, particularly with the intimidator gaslighter, where it can lead to moments like that. But way more often than not, I saw instances where simply somebody was saying, you're too sensitive, you're not giving me enough. And of course, I'm cheating on you because I don't even think of it as cheating. I'm just doing what I need to do as a sexual being. If you don't want to give me sex as much as I want it, then I have every right. Don't you think that's true? And so those kinds of things, or you really don't know anything about money. So you shouldn't have to be involved in our household finances. And if you think there's something missing from the bank account, well, obviously you can't add.
I know of a couple of examples where I used to call it gaslighting, years ago. I have one friend in particular who was really isolated. She moved to another state where her new husband came from and didn't have anyone around. And really what started happening was he would to tell her, oh, you've got to stop not being nice. No one likes you. I'm the only one. And it went on and on for a few years until something hit her. So what are the symptoms. I mean, as you said, there are a lot of very smart people out there who wind up in these situations, which they've got to be so difficult to get out of. What are the symptoms? What are the signs?
Sylvia, if you don't mind, I would like to just respond to something that has now come up just twice in our conversation, that before I go into the signs, and there's a long list, but you, a few minutes ago, you said that the guy kept her isolated, or that the woman was isolated because of the relationship. And I think that that's very true, and it's a really good point. It's like only having access to one channel of information, right? So, and that's the gaslighter's channel. And what happens very often as you progress, as you become immersed in the effects of gaslighting, you isolate yourself so that you don't want to talk to your friends, because the way you would have to talk about your life is not really accurate if you don't want them to haul you out of the house and say, what are you crazy? Right? So you begin to not have those same conversations. Sometimes you're exhausted. And so over time, you do become depleted and drained and exhausted, and you don't have the energy to go out. And if every time you make the effort and you find some joy in the thought that you could be with other people, and your gaslighter puts you down or puts down the idea of going out, or somehow leads you to believe that there's something wrong with you for even wanting to, like, you like those stupid parties, what kind of person are you? And then you begin to say, always something wrong. So here's the long list, just as a qualifier, are symptoms that could be mean you're being gaslighted. They could also be symptoms of something else. And so it's really important to be mindful when you're saying yes to them for yourself, that maybe there is something else going on in the relationship. It's not good, whatever it is, but these are often the symptoms of gaslighting. You're constantly second-guessing yourself. I would say, yes, definitely, that's a symptom of gaslighting. You're asking yourself, am I too sensitive a dozen times a day? And you could be asking yourself that question not at the hand of a gaslighter, so that's what I mean. But certainly, if that's your response to your gaslighter because he's telling you you're too sensitive, then if he's trying to control your self-perception, then it's gaslighting. And you often feel confused and even crazy at work. I think that that's a very important one, actually, because when you are in this gaslight tango, this dance with your gaslighter, you can't often tell, well, what is reality? Like my patient who came in and said, well, he's right. I did violate what was important to him. So maybe I did abuse him. And maybe he wasn't abusing me. He was just reacting to my abusing him. Don't you think? So that you begin to be confused about what's reality. You wonder frequently if you are good enough, if you're a good enough girlfriend, boyfriend, son, daughter. You always apologize to your mom, your father, your boyfriend, I'm sorry for the, in response to some, what are you crazy? Kind of accusation. Or no, I didn't do that. What are you, that never happened. What are you talking about? I never agreed to that. I'm sorry. I thought you had. You can't understand why with so many apparently good things in your life, you aren't happier. I hear that actually very often. I don't know. I have so much to be grateful for. We have enough means to live the life we want. We can go on vacation. I have a great circle of friends, but something is not right. I just don't feel like myself.
Can I ask you, is that from having the person that is doing the gaslighting saying and really drumming it into the person's head that you're not happy? Why aren't you, you're not happy? You're not happy. Is that part of the whole mental abuse there, where they're basically bullying and abusing and tearing the person down, saying, no, you're not happy. You can't be happy. Why aren't, and repetitive over and over?
When somebody is undermining your sense of who you are And when you're constantly thinking, am I crazy? I can't make that decision. I don't know. What's real? Like, what? Would another woman feel good about this? So that's what I mean, that you could be unhappy just because you are constantly in a state of not being sure of yourself, and also because you remember a time where you were happier when somebody wasn't trying to undermine you all the time.
The big thing is that there's somebody undermining you at the same time that all of a sudden you're starting to doubt all these things that you used to really be either confident about or happy about, but you have that gaslighter undermining
your memory, your perception, your sanity, your character. And it's very destabilizing. When I was writing the book in 2007 or in 2006 and 2007, I interviewed people who were running battered women's shelters. And they told me that gaslighting was worse than anything that happened to the women who came into the shelter, even if they were black and blue. Because when somebody robs you of your reality, or you allow them to rob you of your reality. I think this is a great story that somebody shared at a workshop I was doing last week for continuing education for social workers. So a boyfriend, girlfriend, got together, liked each other very much, great chemistry. And the woman was having come from a home where she felt very less than. She was always trying to compensate by having a big personality, and she talked quite a bit. And she was very chatty. And first her boyfriend liked that about her. And then over time he said, well, you know, I think you're too chatty. And I think you could do well with having some silence and being mindful before you say anything. And I can give you a signal, let you know when it's good for you to talk. And so she thought, okay, I want to improve myself. I don't want to be like my mother. I don't want to have these bad habits. And let me take it on as an exercise. And so the relationship went on, and sure enough, she was quiet more often. And at some point he said, you know, I think it's not working as well as I'd like it to work. So I want you to raise your hand every time you want to say something in a conversation. So I don't mean that this guy was her teacher and she was raising her hand in a classroom. She was raising her hand at dinner. She was raising her hand if they were sitting in their living room and she wanted to say something. And for a long time, months, she felt, which is like a long time for that kind of behavior, many months, she was beginning to, she felt that she was on a self-improvement course because that's what he told her. And one night she had dinner with her guy and an old friend of hers. So you could imagine what happened. She raised her hand at dinner and her old friend said, I need you to go to the bathroom with me right now. And they went into the bathroom and she said, what happened to you? Where's my friend? And somehow, just like in the Gaslight movie where some third person came in and said, no, that's not okay. This is a different reality. Here's your reality, right? You are a valuable person. You can trust your perception. So just continuing with the list, you spend more time on his side of the argument than on your own. You frequently make excuses for your partner's behavior to friends and family. You find yourself withholding from friends and family so you don't have to explain and make excuses. And that can account for the isolation. You know something's terribly wrong, but you can never quite express it, even to yourself. You start lying to avoid the put-downs and reality twists. You have trouble making simple decisions. Before your partner comes home, you run through a checklist in your head to anticipate anything you might have done wrong that day. You have a sense that you used to be a very different person, more confident, more fun-loving, more relaxed. So if some of those things or one of those things is happening to you, you could be participating in a gaslight tango.
So what is the difference between gaslighting and brainwashing?
So I think gaslighting is a kind of brainwashing. I would say that the defining it is not as meaningful as just really understanding that in the process of trying to overtake somebody's mind, which is brainwashing and also gaslighting, I think that the context is more important. So when I think about brainwashing, I think about people who have joined cults, right? And there is a lot of gaslighting that goes on.
So is someone who is the abuser, the gaslighter, is this something that's born or is it social learning?
It's definitely social learning. It's not like being an introvert or an extrovert. You're not born knowing how to twist reality. And a lot of it happens with language. So that obviously as you're learning language, you're gaining the tools that later can be used to gaslight someone else. And I think that it is learned by either witnessing somebody do it to someone else, experiencing someone doing it to you, or happening in and then finding that it's successful. But it is always an effort to control the moment and to control the relationship so that you don't have to take responsibility. You can deflect whatever is going on. You can blame the other person. So in like a simple example, if I say to you, hey, Sylvia, we were supposed to meet to go to the movies last night. And like you didn't show. I'm confused. What's up with that? You could, if you were trying to gaslight me, say, Robin, you're so uptight. You're so sensitive. So I didn't show. I didn't really think it was a definite plan. It wasn't definite, was it? And I can walk away from that interaction thinking, I am sensitive. So maybe that's not, maybe there's something wrong with me that I'm still upset about it. And maybe I'm so sensitive to our connection that I don't remember it clearly. And the more you insist on it, the less sure I am of what I'm thinking. And that's the tango part of it. I could just say, Sylvia, no way. I remember it correctly. And yes, I'm sensitive, but that has nothing to do with the fact that you didn't show up. Instead, in the gaslightee position, I'm thinking, oh my God, it's my fault, right? That we're having this bad interaction now.
It gets turned totally around where you start doubting yourself.
Exactly. Exactly. I don't even know whether or not we made the agreement because you're so certain that we didn't.
So that leads me into my next question. What should or can you do if you think you're being gaslighted? Some people, as strong and as smart as they might be, if they start doubting themselves, when do you start? You're doubting yourself anyway when someone is gaslighting you. So what can you do and what are the signs?
So what I talked about in my book was that you could look to your flight attendants. And the reason I use the metaphor of flying is I actually don't like to fly, although I fly all over the world now, but I don't like it particularly. Meaning that I don't feel safe when I get on an airplane and despite the fact that I do it. And I look to the flight attendants on the plane to see whether or not I can feel a little bit more relaxed, right? So if they're walking around and they're smiling and they're business as usual, then I can relax a little bit. And I think that your own flight attendants, and this is, many people have flight attendants that are just individually chosen. So maybe it's your brother and you call somebody up and you call them up and you say, this is happening to me. What do you think? And you trust him to be your barometer, if you will, of what is okay and what's healthy and are you safe. My recommendation would be that you find your own flight attendants and it could be your stomach ache. It could be the dreams you're having. If you're constantly having bad dreams, a flight attendant that I think you can look to are feelings of being confused about reality or feeling confused about the conversation or ruminating about the conversation over and over and over again. Other physical indicators like constantly getting sick, a sense of hyper alertness. So I would say that when you feel like, gee, it's been a long time since I've smiled, it's a good time to check in on your relationships as well as other areas of your life. And when you begin to look closely at your relationship, you can help yourself by using a values checklist. What are my values, and does my relationship allow me to live them? Do I live with integrity in this relationship? Do I live with trust in this relationship? Do I live with honesty? If you value family, am I seeing my family? If all of a sudden you realize when you go through this, your values checklist, that, wait, you don't freely see your family anymore because your gaslighter doesn't like your family or gives you such a hard time that it's not worth the effort. That's a signal. Writing things down, not just journaling about how you feel, but writing things down so that you can see where the conversations are veering off into something that is manipulation rather than a response, is very helpful.
That word is key, manipulation, because that really is what someone who is doing this, the gaslighter, they're manipulating. They're turning your thoughts, your words, your feelings. It's subtle manipulation, which can turn into not just subtle. And unfortunately, it is an invisible form of abuse. It's not just journaling, but you're writing down fact, how you remember the situation. That's a good tool.
Right. And it also is important to keep track of your feelings. So self-awareness is key here. Like, what are you feeling? And knowing that actually it's much more important to feel whole in a conversation and respected than it is to know who's right. I mean, in the end, does it really matter whether or not we agreed to go to the movies or we didn't? I mean, yes, it is. If we're going to have a long-term relationship, we have to make sure we agree on the same thing and we both remember it in the same way. But in this instance, if you're going to hold on to your reality and I'm going to hold on to my reality, it's much more important that I walk away feeling like crap than it's more important for me to pay attention to that. Remembering that when you find that you're in this tango with someone, you then have the choice to leave or to stop it or to try to stop it or to try to stop it so that you can decide whether or not you can stay or go. And recognizing it is the first step. And so that back to self-awareness, recognizing what you're feeling, recognizing what the impact of somebody's words are having on you. I think that the other skill of emotional intelligence that's very important here is regulating your emotions. Because as the person who's being targeted with as a gaslightee, you can feel desperate to get the other person to believe that you're not all these bad things they're saying you are. No, I'm not crazy. Are you kidding me? Of course I'm not crazy. I'm not so sensitive. I don't know why you would say that. I do remember that accurately. I don't know why you're telling me that I don't remember it accurately. And so your desperation or insistence in that moment to have the gaslighter believe you is just as intense as his insistence to get you to believe him. But if you can manage your feelings and you can say, okay, just going to let it go. Maybe you need to sing, let it go in your mind. Maybe you need to have a mantra so that you're saying, I need to let it go. Just walk away. That will cut the impact of gaslighting. And it may even shift the dynamic. Because when you do something different, things happen.
Robin, this is a subject that we could go on and on and on and talk about. And it is so important for people to understand and seek help if they feel this, because a lot of people can't do it on their own and recognizing the signs. So at some point, we're going to have further conversation on it because it really, yeah, it's so, as you said, the resurgence. And when you went into one of the women's shelters, that this if women are suffering from this in huge percentages, it's something that needs to be addressed. And it's funny because when I use that term, a lot of people don't understand it. And it's something that really needs to be understood.
It's something that needs to be understood. And people who hear me talk about the fact that gaslighting can't happen unless you allow it, sometimes get initially upset and think, well, are you blaming the victim? But no, it's not a question of blame. It's a question of the impact of that manipulation on your mind and that you let yourself participate in it because you're after something else. You're after the continuation of the relationship. You're after the person's good judgment. And so knowing that you are participating in it is the way to tell yourself, or is a pathway to freedom, because you can tell yourself, if I don't participate, I'm not going to get gaslighted. People can be gaslighters without an appropriate target, because the targets, if all the people in the world had education on gaslighting, there'd be less gaslighters because they would not be so successful and they'd have to find somebody, some way else of getting power in the moment.
Robin, as I said, this is a huge topic. I wish we had time to go into it a little more. For those who haven't read the book, The Gaslight Effect, it's very, very intriguing. And for those who haven't seen the movie Gaslight, it's a movie not to be missed. I thank you so much for joining me today. And if anyone wants more information on Dr. Robin Stern, they can go to robinstern.com. And I know there's information about you and also about your book.
Thank you very much, Sylvia. Thank you for making this a topic of your show. It's so important. And we're living in a time where fake news and alternate realities just destabilize people more and more. And so it's not surprising that there's a resurgence of gaslighting when people are talking about the fact that you can't even trust the news.
I know. Robin, again, thank you.
Thank you, Sylvia.
Thank you for joining me today. On our next podcast, I'll be talking with another extraordinary woman. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Google Play, iHeartRadio, and of course, our website, lifeofprey.com. Listen, subscribe for free, and take us with you wherever you are. This has been a Life of Prey production.